And what we're seeing is as people engage in this quality of attending to the present moment in this way, non-judgmentally, fully present, fully aware, over time, and especially through meditation, is that the brain actually starts to change. And so prior to around 15 years ago, scientists really didn't think that your brain changed so much. They thought that after you hit around like age 20 something, your brain developed fully and you were stuck with that hardware moving forward. And the best that you could do would just be like to optimize that hardware, which would be the same thing as like you're given a cell phone in the year 2010, and then over the next 50 years you have the same cell phone, and the best that you could do is just figure out, well, how can I navigate it better and how can I get better at typing at it and like, using that app. But you can never download more apps, right? And so I like to say that they thought that your brain was like this rock. And so now what we're seeing through the advent of new technology is that your brain is not like that rock, and it's much more like this ball of Play-Doh, right? Which actually looks kind of awkward on camera. And what we're seeing is that when you engage in this practice, specifically over like an 8-week course, most of the research is around like this 8-week program. Is parts of your brain responsible for stress reactivity, anxiety, rumination, patterns of depression? These areas actually begin to shrink. And then areas responsible for your ability to focus, for your ability to experience joy, for your ability to experience empathy and compassion for other people, for your ability to retain memory and working memory, these areas actually begin to grow. And so to me, this is very cool because it suggests that the brain is like a muscle. And in the same way that if you were to go to the gym and let's say you wanted to develop your bicep, you could do bicep curls, right? And the more that you do that, the more that the bicep gets bigger and stronger and more developed. The meditation seems to be like the exercise for the brain. And we have a gym on every single corner. Mostly around the world, but at least in the West, I mean, where do you see someplace that you can go to actually develop your brain, develop your mind? I was told my entire life, pay attention, pay attention. All my teachers said you need to pay attention. No one actually told me how to pay attention, right? Pretty interesting. This seems like a way to install and develop some of those capacities of mind that we know are important, but perhaps have not had the technologies to do so. And what the research just continues to show is that as we engage in these practices over and over and over, and I do want to reemphasize that most of that research is over an 8-week period, we see repeatedly reductions in stress, anxiety, depression, intensity of chronic pain, improvement in immune function, reductions in blood pressure. We see reductions in things like depression, or I said depression, relapse in depression as well, which has been another big one. Improvements in things like joy, creativity, reported psychological well-being, empathy, compassion, the ability to focus, the ability to stay grounded, resilience goes up. All of these different benefits that are arising through the now thousands of academic articles we have supporting this practice. And so the reason I tell you that is just so you have more of a framing around what we're doing and that you can trust the meditation practice that we'll be engaged in, and you can trust this curriculum that's put together. It's grounded in the most evidence-based practices that we've had. And we're seeing it through the research, and I see it with my students. Some really radical shifts that happen for people. And so as you go throughout this program, just see if you can trust the process. You might be a little skeptical. It's like, I don't know if I really buy into this whole meditation thing. And that's okay. And actually, I think one of the best attitudes to bring to this is what we might call open-minded skepticism. I don't know totally know if I buy into this, but I am willing to try it. And that does seem to be the best attitude that people can take to it, right? Because if you take the approach of like, this is stupid, it's not going to work for me, it's probably just going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy because you're not going to allow yourself to really drop into the practice and be open to a different way of exploring something. Similarly, if you come into this thinking like, oh my God, this is going to transform my life and I am going to be a completely different person, you might be frustrated to realize pretty soon that you're not any different than you were a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And obviously you are somewhat different, but meaning like you're not gonna have this huge transcendent experience where it's like you become a completely different, you're still most likely going to be you, and I'm most likely going to be me. And what we're gonna develop are these different strategies and ways of looking at the world and being in our own experience that are like little building blocks that we're adding to the, eventually what happens is we have a new house that we can inhabit. And before you know it, it's like, wow, actually, you know what? I'm waking up in the morning and I'm not in this pattern of rumination of like, I hate myself. What's wrong with me? Or, I used to respond very quickly and abrasively to people when I was angry. And now there's a bit more space there and I'm not so reactive. These things just start to happen organically and you could trust that process.